Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's, and a special welcome to our visitors who are worshiping with us today. Over the past month, you probably received a few Christmas cards. And in those Christmas cards, you got to see pictures of a family or some of your loved ones. And it's amazing to see over the year, since last year, how much they grew. Today, we are going to be beginning a capital campaign. It's our kickoff event. And we're going to be talking about different ways that we can grow here at St. Paul's. We'll be asking the Lord to bless us and grow us each as individuals so that we might grow His kingdom under His blessing, so that more and more people might come to know Jesus, our Epiphany Savior. We'll worship using the order of service as it's printed out for us in your worship folder. We'll begin with the opening hymn as we seek to grow forward. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not hold against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Therefore, let us honestly confess our sins to Him and ask for His forgiveness. Merciful Father in heaven, I confess the blindness of my eyes. I haven't been looking for the harvest. I admit the stubbornness of my mind. The feast of doing your will often doesn't taste good. My comforts come easy. Bringing your gospel comfort to others stings my sinful nature. For these and all my sins, Lord, have mercy. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us. He sent His only Son, Jesus, for the whole field of sinners. Through the good news about Jesus, God brings in the harvest. Jesus paid your full price by the cross. On His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came with a hunger to do your Father's will by heralding His word and harvesting people for eternal life. Nourished by your salvation, give us eyes open to the fields around us and appetites craving to work in them. For you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for our scripture lesson. Our first lesson today is taken from Acts chapter 16. As Paul was seeking to grow God's kingdom, spreading God's word all around the Mediterranean region, no matter what circumstances he found himself in, he looked for a way to share the gospel with others, even in jail. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is the word of our God. We continue with the song of praise.
Christ, we proclaim the name of God.
please stand in honor of the gospel? The gospel for today from John chapter 4, Jesus urges us to look, open our eyes, and see that the harvest is ripe. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until the harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for our hymn of the day, 577.
Triune God who has a green thumb, and through the word of God, his fingerprints are all over how he gives life to the world through the gospel. Your brothers and sisters in him, did you realize next year, St. Paul's Howard's Grove celebrates 160 years as a congregation? I think if you go back to the beginning and you ask Pastor A.J. Springling, our first pastor, my opinion is he would say, this congregation has tremendously grown forward. But I don't know that you have to go all the way back 160 years to talk to him. I think you can just talk to some long-term members here. Do you know what they're going to say? I just don't know everybody anymore. I don't know the people in my own church service. I don't know the people going to second service if you're a first service goer. I just don't know all the people. It's grown by leaps and bounds. We started out as something kind of small and simple, and then we kind of grew to be crammed and cramped a little bit in our facilities, and then now we're the abundant people of God, the tremendous family, singles, all ages of life, to be here today to serve the Lord. Take a look at our history. It's quite incredible. Back in 1862, of course, we were founded. 1863, the congregation built its first church, and by 1881, they outgrew it, and they needed to build a bigger one, and they did. 1881, they built their second church, and there were other buildings that they did over the years, but then down in the 1960s, they added an education wing, and then even further, they decided to take a leap of faith in the 1970s. In 1974, they built or they started a Lutheran elementary school, and how that's grown to this day, and then God blessed it so that in the 90s it grew and grew, and we were so crammed and cramped in that space that those people in the late 90s took another leap of faith, and they said, we need a new plot of land, and they moved here, and they built this in 2003 and blessed all of us now to this day with how this congregation has grown forward to give God the glory by the teaching that we receive here. That is just something tremendous. That introduction to the sermon was intended to be more than just a history lesson. When you look at the history of God's people here and how they've responded to the Word of God, they have desired to take the same appetite as Jesus and to feast on what God has said and go after the work. That's what Jesus said. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And so our will has been the same, to take that finished work of Jesus Christ that he set out to do with such resolve, to go to the cross, to suffer and die, to rise again, to take that accomplished work of Jesus Christ and to take it out. And certainly that means more than building buildings, more than refurbishing buildings, more than adding on to buildings, more than doing anything with a building, although that can be a part of it. It's meant in the 160 or 59 years that we're at now that we have set out with resolve to take the accomplished Word of God, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and to reach the nations, to reach the communities, to reach hearts and souls, and not just to reach them, to make them Christian. We have taken Matthew 28 to heart that we have desired to make disciples. We want to reach people for Christ, and we want to keep them grounded in Christ until they meet the Lord face to face in glory. That's been our drive. Our will has been to serve the Lord and to make the feast of his word ours and to carry out that work as Jesus gave it to us. The section of scripture we have is from John chapter 4, and it's quite an incredible lesson. Jesus was tired after a long journey. He headed into an area called Samaria, and he met a woman who had walked away from God. She had a sinful and messy life. She had four husbands already, and she could have been young for all we know. She was living with a man at the current time who is not her husband. And so what did Jesus do? Well, he struck up a religious discussion with her. And the disciples he had sent out prior to this to go do some mission work, but then they regrouped and they were looking for some physical food. When they came back, they find Jesus talking to a foreigner. You didn't do that back then. And they find Jesus talking to a woman, a man to a woman. Socially, you didn't do that back then. So the disciples come back, having searched for food, and their jaws drop as they see this. And they see this woman excited for the first time in likely a very long time because she heard about grace again. And Jesus was able to get through to her and have her realize again the forgiveness of sins that was hers through the work that he was going to do. And so you know what she did? And the disciples witnessed this. This woman excitedly races back to her community, and she, even with her messy life, she tells everybody in the community about what this prophet Jesus told her and how he opened up the Word of God to her, with the extent that the result was all of the people from the community come out to Jesus, and he had to spend the next 2 days doing ministry there. Just incredible. And yet it looks like the disciples were just mainly concerned about their tummies and going to Texas Roadhouse still for their next meal. And so Jesus gets rather blunt with them about where their focus was. And he puts this next phrase to them very, very directly. And he says, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. Ah, the food's on its way. It's still down the road. It's coming. Got to wait for it. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Disciples, look at this. Look at all the people coming. They're coming to hear the word of God. Look, disciples, today, look at the fields. Don't you see the harvest? Don't you see all of the people coming? We have gone from an 1862 congregation of likely just a few families and very, very localized, where people went right down the road to their local church, to now, do you realize we have people coming likely 30 to 40 minutes to hear Jesus here? They want to hear the word of God here? I've shared this stat a couple of times recently with some of you, so maybe a few of you have heard it, but I haven't told the whole congregation. Did you know that between the last week of December and the first week of January this year, we have turned away 5 or 6 4K students because we're at capacity in the 4K classroom? So we've turned away 5 or 6 families and students. And maybe that's not that big of a deal, but when you combine it with the 5 or 6 that we've already turned away, we have turned away 11 or 12 4K families and students for this year. We've done no advertising. That's just about a whole classroom right there. And that's not even counting the 3K families and students that we have turned away, because we don't have a 3K. Again, we've done no advertising. They're coming, desiring what we have here. Today, I'm starting the first in a series of Bible information classes, 8 sessions, 17 people are in it. Now, that's one of the largest groups that I've had in my 4.5 years at St. Paul's. But it could have been 30. Some of them didn't want to take it this time around. Some of them, the timing just didn't work, and so they're going to take it the next session. And there are some people that we're still working on that weren't quite convinced yet, and so we're going to continue to reach out to them and continue to work with them. 17 people, though, today, and it could be more still, to hear the word of God. In the last couple of months, all of the live stream stuff that we've done, we have something called Google Analytics that I can see where people are tuning in from and coming to our website to watch services. It's certainly across Wisconsin. It's across the United States. People are tuning in. It's even quite a few in Canada that are watching. And actually, it's quite a few even around the whole world. The ministry of St. Paul's is quite remarkable, that it has gone from something very, very local to something even worldwide. You are proclaiming Jesus to the world with the ministry right here. Now, I understand today we don't have those social customs that they had back then, and so boys can talk to girls, girls can talk to boys, men can talk to women, women can talk to men, citizens can talk to foreigners, foreigners can talk to citizens. You see any of that stuff happening today? Nobody is going to bat an eyelash, are they? Except most of those conversations that are happening today between those entities, they're not talking Jesus. If you look at the demographics of right here in Howard's Grove and a little bit the wider area, there are lots of unchurched, lots of de-churched, where they had one once upon a time and they walked away from it for whatever reason. There are lots of kids then not coming to hear the word of the Lord, not going to a Lutheran elementary school, not even going to Sunday school. The fields are ripe right here. Maybe, you know, they've got their reasons, right? Maybe they're like that Samaritan woman. Maybe they're just frustrated. Maybe they were a part of a cult in the past. You should check out that video that I sent out this past week, or go to our Capital Campaign website for a story just like that. Maybe they're just burdened and guilted and under sin from all of the foolish choices that they have just made on their own record in life. No matter what reason, the crop has to be in the field that they're in, no matter how they got there. Can you see what Jesus says about them? They're there. They're ready. They're ripe. Do you see the fields of opportunity of people coming right here to hear what you have? Because if you do, that's not just fantastic, but it becomes something that we need to think about if we actually do see the harvest and we don't do anything about it. If you truly see the opportunity and spiritual possibilities and potential here and do nothing, honestly, I can't imagine a congregation like that in the Wells. I can't imagine this congregation, knowing its history, knowing its love for the Word of God, I can't imagine a congregation that sees the revelation of Jesus as their epiphany savior for the world, a congregation that loves the means of grace and the Word of God, a congregation that loves one another and claims to love its fellow man, that sees the harvest and does nothing. Because Jesus says the exact opposite. Look at the fields. Open your eyes and see the fields. Somebody who does that, who sees the harvest and does nothing, that's doing the exact opposite Jesus says. That's something sinful. And I understand it's work. It's work to go after the harvest. It's work to fight the sinful nature. It's work to go talk to people who are maybe different from us, different from our social customs, different from doing things the way we do. It's hard work. And so often we don't do it. And that's why Jesus today still reminds us he wants us to be a part of the harvest. He wants us to receive the grace of God. He wants us to repent for our sin and to turn away from it and to realize the great treasure that is truly ours for free in Jesus, the forgiveness of all of our sins, and to get back to him. And from that standpoint of grace, to see the rich opportunity he sets before our very eyes and to go after it. Because he talks about the work here. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. You know, in the course of the last couple of months as we've been gearing up for this, I've heard some interesting comments. Some have said, you know, Pastor, why don't we just go to a local wealthy business that likes to be charitable and let's just ask them for all of the money for this building project? And they're well-intentioned. I've heard other comments of people, again, well-intentioned, who say, well, who's going to pay for this? Well, those are interesting comments. And based on the scriptures, the work of bringing in the harvest is the work of the church. It's not the work of local companies. It's not the work of outsiders. If you go back to 1862 when that first little congregation and assembly of people came together to start a congregation, they didn't say, we'd like to build a church in 1863. Let's see if we can get the Norwegians to pay for it. Let's see if we can get the Dutch to go after this. Maybe the Africans, maybe somebody else. Let's find other entity. No, you know what they did? We're going to do the hard work. It's our faith in Jesus that we want to rally around and provide for us and for our children. And we want to make a name for the Lord here and reach out for his sake and his glory. And we are so blessed because they did. We are reaping the benefits of their hard work. Back in 2003, a lot of us weren't around too. I wasn't here. Do you know what? We contributed nothing. Not all of us. Some of us were around then. People like me, we contributed nothing. I wasn't on the roof shingling. Had I been here, I would have been helping with that. There are a number of us that didn't help with that project. And yet we're blessed to be here today and to be able to worship and celebrate and thank and praise God with the rest of you who did that hard work. How blessed we are now to be able to harvest because you sowed. You see, that's how it's supposed to work. There are sowers and there are reapers. who work together in this. There's one more comment that people have said. They said, Pastor, I've looked at the project. I've seen what the planners have in mind, and I just have no little kids. I'm kind of grown up now. I just have no connection to this project. Absolutely not. You certainly have a connection to this project as God would allow it to happen. Jesus says it so himself. So that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. All of our efforts, all of our offerings, all of our prayers, all of our hard work come together in Christ. And so whether you're a sower or whether someday you're a reaper, whether you're a giver, if the Lord has blessed you at that end, or whether you're a receiver, I imagine our 1 and 2 year olds in the congregations are not going to be givers. They're going to be receivers. They're going to inherit something tremendous. Whether you're somebody who actively witnesses to the lost and you're out there on the mission front, or whether you're not able to do that anymore, but when you come to church, you certainly witness how the Lord is growing this congregation forward. Do you see what the Lord does for no matter what entity you're at or what place in life you're at? He brings joy. He brings joy to the congregation, joy to the people, joy to all of us, joy to the outsiders who come together. Joy as the ministry continues to build us up and flourish as we're all grounded together in Christ. What do you think that congregation from 1862 would have in their hearts if they were able to look right now and see what the Lord brought forth from their terribly difficult and hard work in faith? I think their hearts would be overflowing in joy. So maybe we now sow the seed and put together some hard work. And some of us, as we do it, we may not be around to see the results. We're going to hand it off. Maybe we go to heaven beforehand, but we're going to hand it off to future generations. But what do you think is going to come from your heart if you get to look 161 years from now and see the way the Lord blesses this as the harvest continues to come in down the road? The joy that's going to come from your heart. The joy with the sower, the joy with the reaper. They each get a reward. And of course, the great joy we get is we all get to go to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. It's tremendous. St. Paul's has grown forward. 159 years of it. As a pastor, with the tremendous word of God and grace of God that we have before us, let's keep growing forward. And ask that the Lord continues to bless us to do so in Jesus Christ and for and to his glory. Amen. Please stand. We join together in confessing our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the middle of winter, the fields are ready. Give us eyes to see the lost and fill our hearts with an overflow of grace to seek them. Equip our congregation with strength and determination to carry out your will and to do your work and to feast on it. And from your hand of blessing, pour out on us joy. Joy in our Savior Jesus, joy in service, and joy with one another. May everything we do in and for this capital campaign, our planning, and even all of our attitudes honor you, give you glory, and seek to advance your kingdom. In your name we pray and join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Follow the direction of the ushers to come forward.
Thank you.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another and serve your Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Good morning, everyone, and welcome all guests and visitors. Love having you here. Please come again and join us for worship and glorifying our God with us. A couple of announcements to share with you. First of all, Bible study takes place today. We're going to start around 9:20, 9:25. We'll be again in the gymnasium. We have a couple more chairs and tables set up for today. Somebody even brought a few wrapped goodies, so some treats are in there if you like. We'll continue with our second lesson in Zechariah. Then I have Mr. Jim Van Alstyne, if you'd like to come on out. Do you need a microphone?